Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Last evening, my wife was trying to get the grandchildren to notice the sunset. I don't know if you noticed the sunset last night, but it was absolutely beautiful. Just a gorgeous sky. But she had a hard time getting them. They love her. I mean, they absolutely love my wife. All my grandchildren love my wife. And it is well-placed affection. But she was having a hard time getting their attention to look at the sunset because they were busy arguing over a shovel with which they could dig in the dirt in order to fill a little bucket. It's good to be task-oriented. But she said, as I was trying to get them to stop what they were doing in the dirt and look up and see this glorious sunset, it occurred to me that is so like us. We are often mired with our attention in the details of stuff down here that isn't that important. It isn't time sensitive. It just has our attention at the moment. That we miss beautiful things that God has for us because we don't look up. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Where's your focus? In Psalm 16:8, the psalmist says, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord." I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Psalm 141:8 says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord." This is a theme of the psalmist. This is one of the keys to his relationship with the Lord, and it's one of the keys to our relationship with the Lord. My eyes are fixed on you. What in the midst of all the circumstances, everything else going on, my eyes are fixed on you. You remember the story of Peter. Invited by Jesus to get out of the boat and walk on the water, he does that, and then he gets his eyes off the Lord and onto the storm around him, and suddenly he begins to sink. And we've said in numerous settings, it is very important to stay focused on the Lord. Other things are a distraction. Stay focused on Him. I want us to look in Colossians chapter 3 because this is more of what that's about. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. This is God's word. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Heavenly Father, help us to understand this, believe it, and obey it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. What is he talking about? Well, you can go back and read the whole book, but I want you to understand in a nutshell, when Jesus died, he took our place. The death he died was our death. And trusting in Jesus means trusting that what we deserved, he received. He died in our place. That's our death. Years ago, when I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to know some teenage girls in Asheville, North Carolina, who had just gotten saved. They had just come to faith in Christ, and they were invited to a very expensive, fashionable party that, the folks actually sent out invitations for this big party they were going to have. But these young ladies knew that at that party there would be a lot of immorality and drug use, because that's the circle they used to run in. And they thought, what do we do? I mean, these are our former friends. They don't know about our new faith in Christ. What do we do? How do we respond? And they came up with what I thought was a brilliant answer. Instead of just indicating that they declined, they put on the invitation deceased and sent it back. Deceased. For those of you who are very young and may not know what that word means, it means these people have died. If you send something to someone, whether it's a bill or an invitation or whatever, and it comes back marked deceased, that means the person's dead. It's hard to fault a dead person for not coming to your party. But obviously it raised questions. What do you mean deceased? Hey, we got the invitation back. What do you mean deceased? And they explained, you know, the person that you used to know, the person who you used to party with, that person died. That person was nailed to the cross. I now have a new life in Jesus Christ. It was a good conversation starter. And it was true. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. What is that founded on? Look at the next verse. Verse 3. For you died. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. We now have life in Christ, and it's a life that never dies. One of these days, probably not for another 40 years or so, but one of these days, this body of mine is finally going to breathe its last. I know from Scripture that unless Jesus comes first, my body's going to die. It's going to happen to me. But I won't be dead at that point. My body will have finally died. But I died at the cross. And I was made alive in Jesus Christ. And when this body is finally done, I'll be more alive than ever. And I want you to understand that that is not some special status of certain Christians. That's Christianity. I am crucified with Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Every now and then people ask me, who pays for the airtime for you to be on the radio? I can understand why people would be mystified by that. The answer is, our listeners do. We would really appreciate it if you would join with others in keeping these broadcasts on the air. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. That's probably the easiest way to contact us, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. There's all kinds of stuff there, even a picture of my family. If you haven't seen my family, you've missed a blessing. We've got quite a tribe. 7 kids, 8 grandkids. They're not all on the website, but enough of them are to give you the impression. Please go to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the books, the videos that are available. We've got a lot of stuff that we would love to share with you. And we would really appreciate hearing from you. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
You and I, if we're in Christ, need to recognize what that means to be in Christ. We are in him and he is in us. We have become one. And now the life that we live by his power. It is his power at work within us. That's what makes it possible for us to do what we couldn't do before, which is to obey God and please him. So, what are you looking at? Well, we need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus. This says, fix your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What does that mean, fix your heart? Set your heart. It means, where's your affection? Where's your passion? What are you really passionate about? Football! Well, that's where a lot of people's heart is. All year long, over there in Neyland Stadium. That's what it's all about. You go in their homes and they have a shrine to their favorite team. I mean, I've been in homes of people of other religions, like Hindu, Buddhist, and they have shrines. I'm familiar with that. We've got that all over East Tennessee and the rest of the country. People who have their shrine to their sports team that they're devoted to. That's what it's all about. If I were to say to you, what's the comparison between, let's say, a nickel and a quarter? You'd say, well, a quarter's a whole lot better, wouldn't you? Right? A quarter's a whole lot better than a nickel. Well, how about a dollar bill compared to a nickel? Oh, that's a lot better. What about compared to a quarter? That's four quarters. Makes a dollar bill. Really? Okay. So you'd really rather have a dollar bill than a quarter? Is that right? Would you? Some are saying, I like coins. I like coinage. I like to hear them jingle, feel them in my pocket. Okay? Paper, you know, you can lose that. Coins, hey, guess what? Suppose it was $10,000 compared to a quarter. Now is everybody ready for the money? The paper money? The real thing? Yeah, I'm seeing nods. Okay, $10,000. I would take that. I would take that over a quarter. $10,000, right? What if it was $1,000,000? Well, I can't even count that high, Pastor Wood. Well, I don't have time to either. But let me ask you, would you say there's just no comparison between $1,000,000 and a quarter? I mean, it's like there's such a difference between those. Let me tell you something. Jesus is worth more than all the money in the world. Not just billions, not just trillions. Jesus said, what does it profit man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Well, what makes his soul so valuable? It's the capacity for a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what makes us so valuable. You and I have eternity in our hearts. We are designed by God with the capacity to spend forever with him. And so your relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. That's what we're to do. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So that's where your affection is to be. Well, not just your affection, but set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The focus of your thoughts should be about him. One of the ways to do that is to memorize scripture and then meditate on it, okay? And you all are learning to do that. You're learning to memorize God's word and then go over it in your mind. Say it. Let the Lord renew your mind with his word. And as you set your hearts on things above and you set your minds on things above, you will find that your life is so much richer. There's a song that Stephen Curtis Chapman did some years ago. And I love the lyric. And I obviously thought of it last night because of the situation with my grandchildren. Stephen Curtis Chapman is part of the song. I'll give you the lyrics to part of it. He says, I'm playing Game Boy standing in the middle of the Grand Canyon. Get that image. I'm playing Game Boy standing in the middle. I mean, how absurd. Surrounded by awesome things. We were vacationing at the Outer Banks a couple of years ago. We went to a lighthouse that was built in the Victorian era. There were all these lovely Victorian buildings around and this amazing lighthouse and beautiful nature. And there was a whole family of people seated next to me, and they weren't talking to each other. They were all sitting there doing stuff with their phones. They weren't reviewing their pictures they'd just taken. They were playing games, texting other people. Why? Put the phone down. People go to dinner, husbands and wives. They sit across from each other. What's going on? What are you looking at? I've said before how stupid it would be if I went to dinner with a picture of my wife and instead of looking at my wife, I kept looking at the picture. Dumb, okay? And we've said that concerning the symbols that God gives us of what Jesus did for us. That it's just a picture. We're supposed to focus on the reality. But folks, please understand, this doesn't come naturally to us. What the psalmist says is, I keep my eyes always on you, Lord. It requires decision and deliberate effort. Intentionality, you might call it. So, if you know, well, okay, I think it's about what are you looking at? I got that. What's the main point for today? Here's the thing. Here's the main point. You and I need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. And it will not happen without effort. It will not happen without effort. That's what God tells us to do, and it's not automatic. Okay? So, Stephen Curtis says, I'm playing Game Boy in the middle of the Grand Canyon. I'm eating candy, sitting at a gourmet feast. I'm wading in a puddle when I could be swimming in the ocean. Tell me, what's the deal with me? Wake up and see the glory. Every star in the sky tells his story. And every breeze is singing his song. All of creation is imploring, hey, come see this grand phenomenon. And it's true. Have you noticed the dogwoods? Have you noticed the wild magnolias? Have you noticed that all in the woods, just waiting their turn, there's a bunch of mountain laurel? Just waiting. It's like, okay, not time yet. But the mountain laurel is going to come bursting forth in bloom as well. Happens every year. It waits. And after the azaleas are done and these things, mountain laurel comes out and then it fades like flowers, like us. And the rhododendron goes, my turn. God has placed beauty all around us. Every morning there's a sunrise. Every evening there's a sunset. All of this beauty is designed not to call attention to itself, but to call attention to the Creator, to point us to Him, to say, look at what an awesome God we serve. The stars in the sky, display his glory. Romans 1 tells us that creation speaks the world over to tell everybody everywhere there is a God. Anybody who doesn't believe in God is willfully ignorant. They are a determined fool because it is obvious this did not happen by chance. It's built into us, hardwired into our DNA to recognize there's something greater than we are. It's all around us, the evidence telling us. So what are you looking at? Where's your focus? If you're worried about the things of this world, you're not focused in the right place. If you're upset about stuff that's not going to matter in 100 years, it's time to change your perspective. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Did you get it? Fix your eyes on Jesus. I've said before that one of the most amazing pieces of footage from a race that I've ever seen, I could watch it over and over. It's a guy who's running a race and he's been leading the whole way. And I mean, he's out front. Nobody can catch him. There's a camera crew on the back of a truck that's filming him as he runs along, and he's just doing great. There are other guys who are behind him and they're trying to catch him. They can't catch him. And the intersection prior to the finish line, the TV truck turns to the right to get out of the way so that he can run through the tape. And he turns and goes right after the truck. And they start motioning to him, no, no, go back. And he's just running. And then he realizes what he's done. He's no longer going toward the finish line. He's just chasing the camera. And he turns and he goes back. And he does not finish first. At that point, the guys who were trying to catch him have kept their eyes on the finish line. They didn't follow him. They were going for the finish line. And they crossed the finish line, and poor guy, I don't even think he placed third. Isn't that sad? I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be that guy. What you're focused on really does matter. You understand? Now, I mean, I'm really glad they caught it on camera. But I don't want to just be amused by someone else's misfortune. I want to be warned. I want to finish well. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. When I think about what he did for me, nothing I'm going through is really painful compared to what he went through. I mean, there isn't any sacrifice that God could ask me to make that would be comparable to what Jesus did for me. And so I've got to fix my eyes on him. I've got to set my heart on him. I've got to set my mind on him. My whole focus in life has got to be about Jesus. Anything else? And I'm going to miss the joy, the peace. I'm going to miss the reward. So, what are you looking at? What are you focused on? What do you care about? If somebody else were to say what matters most to you, what do you think they'd say?
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.